something that is totally broken and has been totally broken in several different incompatible releases, and you can link to it. And then you can just plug it into your application like this. So this is linking to libRPM with its own broken libRPM's version of SleepyCatDB and, you know, all the associated problems that libRPM brings you. And it's just telling you me what that thing does, which is quite useful. There's also another plugin here, the notes, which tells me there's no notes associated with it, and so on. So that's quite fun. What else must I I'll show you? Okay. Some of you have heard of the fonts, maybe, that Bitstream have kindly donated under the tender ministrations of Jim Gettys. I don't know what tactics he used to get them out of Bitstream, but we're very pleased with Jim now that he's got them out. So I don't have them on my machine, but this will show you some of the fonts that are installed here, which are quite fine. So let's see Chevre or something like this. This is quite fun. So we can just double-click on that, and we can see, you know, the Quick Brown Fox. And I'm sure there's one of these for every language, but the Quick Brown Fox jumps over the Lazy Weasel or something. Good. What else can I show you? The Themer. Oh, yeah, let me show you this. Okay, so after much struggle, battle, fighting, infighting, outfighting, and all sorts of things, we came up with a Themer that actually allows you to theme your whole desktop, which is nice. And it actually works, in contrast to many of the previous attempts. So I can just hit that and, hey, everything updates. You would think that's easy to do. It's a political challenge, it transpires. We also have things down here that are quite nice. So it turns out that some people can't bear to see, or just can't see stuff that isn't high contrast. So that's fine. We can have a high contrast theme. For some reason, it hasn't seemed to have changed the G2K theme, which is pretty depressing. Other people can't bear to see things that are high contrast. Like, they just can't cope. You know, that's too contrasting for me. So so they have another theme, which is the low contrast theme, like that. And it all looks pretty much of a muchness, you know? You have to turn the button up on your monitor, which is good. Very good for the monitor. And there you go. That's lots of them. That's part of the accessible stuff. There's also font sizes. Let me show you how the font dialog looks. This is a very sweet piece of work, I think, mostly in Red Hat that... It allows you, it's really the Mac OS X effect again, actually. You know, we the ignorant who know nothing about fonts can come in and, you know, go, oh, best shapes, oh, that looks really good. You'll find on the LCD projector, everything looks awful. So there you go. But once you're there, you can go details and you can go, well, you know, I don't know what the subpixel order is. So you can fiddle with all these buttons and, you know, see what it does and so on, pretty much. But I'm assured by people that know about fonts that this makes a real difference, you know, if you know what you're doing. Which I don't, which is good. You can also, you know, obviously change your fonts. I don't really have any applications going. You can change your font to a completely unreadable font, and then you can try and undo it. That's, you know, always a good laugh for a Sunday afternoon if you're into that sort of thing. And so then my application here has changed into this particularly blocky sort of a font.
So that's good.
Good. Right. I'm beginning to run out of time, so I will speed up. Uh-huh. GNOME DB. Okay, this is a database thing. I'll do the demo now because you've all read the slide. One of the particularly fun things about this demo is that it's actually using an Access database from a Microsoft Access file that my friend Rodrigo happened to send me, which is particularly nice. So view tables and views. We're here there already. Okay, so I can go properties here. And I can see, hey, that's a really boring table. Let me find someone else. House subcommittees. Okay, so this is the house subcommittee, and I can poke around with that. Just for those of you who don't know, the Access database format is really, really evil. It's sort of balanced binary tree mess in that. And I can you know, poke with my little tables around here, and I can pretend that they're associated in some way. So you know, this is like that, a primary key for that, and this is a key for that. And I can draw these pretty pictures, and when I've done them, I can print them out and send them to my boss. He'll go, oh, that looks really good. An excellent design. I can also do a few little SQL queries on that. Let me see here. So select star from house subcommittee. Oh, and I have to hit the go button, which I kind of didn't realize, but here we go. And there we are. There's a whole load of subcommittees, as you can see. The US government is full of committees, it seems, on every sort of thing. In the UK, we have quangos, and when someone does something for the government that the public didn't want, we give them a quango as a reward. It's a very popular way of government. Now I'll quit like that. Good. So that's the database access. Poke with it. It's very good, this. This is particularly embarrassing that I'm not using OpenOffice since I have a slide about it, but unfortunately it's not as ergonomic in terms of copying what you said last week. So there is no official GNOME Office Suite. In case you hadn't noticed, it's me that's speaking today. Did anyone notice? Any good. I'm speaking, so I'll say what I think, and this is it. OpenOffice is the suite of the future. It's the best free office suite out there. It doesn't matter what you think. It's objectively true. You can't really argue with it. It just happens to be slow to load. 1.0.2 was just released, a whole load of new bug fixes and fun stuff like that. That's on the aptly named 000 stable 1 branch. OpenOffice.org has an unfortunate .org on the end, because it's really OpenOffice, as everyone knows. But for legal reasons, it's referred to as .org that I don't quite understand. Also, version 1.1 is coming out shortly, quarter 3, and that's got loads of new stuff in it. It may not release often, but when it comes, it's very nice, including, I think, accessibility support, lots more fixes, PDF bits, and it's a better citizen on your desktop. You have separate windows instead of its own sort of broken MDI window manager thing, which is good. Many people think that some of the features in StarOffice aren't in OpenOffice CVS, and many people are broadly wrong. So go and check out OpenOffice. You won't be able to build it, but it will consume your disk space. If you do want to build it, actually, there's a very good site here, which is 000.zimian.com. After the first 3 weeks of trying to build OpenOffice, I actually managed to succeed. And it turns out that in the release notes on the official OpenOffice site, they failed to mention that actually it doesn't build at all on any systems that might exist out there, like a standard Red Hat or a standard Debian or anything, right? So we kind of documented that and wrote down how to get around it and how to fix it and how to build it, and we put it there. I've just remembered that needs fixing because it turns out GCC 3.0.4 doesn't bootstrap on Red Hat 8.0. So I apologize about that. Talk to your distribution vendor about it. And look out for OpenOffice in Zimian Desktop 2. It's going to be very sweet and very sexy, and that's all I can say about it. Good. This is just an example of a feature I found in OpenOffice, which is pretty cool. So, you can draw one of these polygons that you color in when you're bored in meetings, and it colors it in blue, which is good. You can then just sort of make it a bit transparent. You see the white is showing through the bottom here? And then, you can turn it into a solid of revolution, and spin that around and all that sort of stuff. Or maybe on a spline area like this, a red one, and then a radial gradient transparency on top of it, centered here and, as you can see. And then maybe you can put it on top, and my masterpiece. This is conceptual art, right? Thank you. Good. That's enough about OpenOffice. I'll get mobbed by angry GNOME Numeric hackers when I get home. I must hasten to add that I do appreciate the work of Numeric, and I got the current maintainer his CVS account in the early days, and I wrote the OLE2 library that until recently I think KWord uses to import its Word files. Angular Numeric uses, obviously, to import and export. So I'm not entirely crazy or biased horribly when I say OpenOffice is the way ahead. Hopefully. So. Okay, Mono. Mono is a really exciting thing. It's under a mixed X11 and GPL license. It re-implements parts of .NET. .NET is a meaningless marketing term, so KDE probably re-implements parts of .NET as well. So does GNOME. It's just such a broad thing. Either way, we're interested in it at Zimian primarily because of investment protection. Companies go and write stuff, unfortunately, on legacy systems such as Microsoft Windows without realizing the folly of their ways, and they need to be able to have an exit strategy, and we provide that. It's also a better development environment in terms of a common language runtime, common object model, and a prettier environment to work in, garbage collection, things like that. So it's a much more powerful model. It's absolutely certain. There's no doubt about it that it's going to be integrated in GNOME, okay? You can go and flame war about this because it's going to happen, right? Certainly, in about that version. It's a CLI compliant execution system, so you can run the JIT and inside it the whole thing should be completely compatible with Windows. So you can build on Windows and you can run on Linux. You should be able to build on Linux and run on Windows. There are a few problems with that. But you can certainly do it the other way. And you can build on Linux and run on Linux, which is useful because a C-sharp compiler is written in C-sharp. So it compiles itself to Bootstrap, which is fun. There's a nice JIT on x86 that's fast and slick and small and being rewritten to be faster and slicker and smaller and portable. So that's useful. It's multi-platform, works on Linux, Solaris, BSD, and Windows. We have an interpreter that runs on these non-x86 platforms. And that's most of the functionality is done. Go and have a look at the website. It's pretty funky. If you want a project to do with lots of scope for making a name for yourself, you know, don't start your own .NET project. In fact, don't ever start another project, really. There's enough projects in the world out there to join and help rather than starting your own. Lots of people think they want to be the next Linus Torvalds, and they may well be. But the trick to get there is to join a project and be so good and so much better than the other people and contribute so much that you're soon a world star, you see. That's just a hint for freedom and love and progress. Good. Okay, and there's also quite amazing progress on this. We support, obviously, C-sharp really quite completely. The new generics work is happening, I think, as I speak, which is not even yet announced. So we're tracking the spec before it's been specified. And anyway, so it's pretty good. VB.NET support is coming along nicely. Some of the GNOME basic stuff that you may have seen before has been integrated into that and taken further. Nice GTK sharp bindings also for GNOME, the database stuff, and so on. ASP.NET, ADO.NET, Logo, blast from the past maybe, and also Qt Sharp. Here's a picture of it. It looks much like that. This is actually talking to Microsoft SQL Server, running GTK Sharp on Windows XP, as you can see by the gaudy color in the top. Pretty horrible. And here it is actually doing something useful on Linux. Again, Motif. I don't know. There's some awful X window manager, and it does that X in the corner, and I forget its name. But this is debugging a JIT-generated CLI program, I think written in C#, in a debugger written in C#, using GTK Sharp. Anyway, there's lots of sharps in it. And for those who haven't realized, a sharp is also a pound, you know, a pound sign when it says, yeah, anyway, good. So let's have a little demo, and let me remember what it is. Mono dot, right. Okay, so this is Mono coming up. Here we are. This is a little application written in C#, and it's a documentation browser. And this doesn't really compete with the other documentation browsers that exist, so you know, don't get scared. It actually takes the ECMA documentation, which is an XML, and renders it to HTML. And it links to GTK HTML2, I believe, which renders all the stuff here, which is Halsky's area over there, and we're very pleased with it. So there you go. That's just to show that it does actually run and work on a real computer. And that's the stock RPMs you can get from Symian, so good. I'm really running out of time, I think. So Evolution 1.2, there's quite a big team of people working on it. It's really good. It's an Outlook replacement. How many people use Evolution actively? I'm very pleased. That's very good of you. Excellent. Thank you. I'm sure you'll have lots of interesting feature requests for me later. Either way, it's a very powerful and feature-complete mailer. And I must say, I only switched to it too late. You know, I held out with Pine for ages and ages, and then I discovered, and I was very pleased. Good. So you've seen all the features. One of the interesting things is the Exchange 2K connector, which has recently got a lot better. This is a free software conference. I'd like to point out that I don't feel bad about screwing people who were already screwed by Microsoft. So this is an Exchange connector, and it does all sorts of nice things recently, meeting booking and room booking and all that sort of stuff. And this is a fun thing too, Sun 1 connector, the full capabilities of the Sun 1 groupware server, which will run on Unix, for any people who haven't noticed that Sun is a Unix shop. And Evolution 1.4 is coming soon. Ettore is already using it, but then he was using the pre-1.0 version as well. Either way, it builds and runs, and here's a photograph of it in action. So there you go. Let me just show you a few things about it that I happen to like. What do I happen to like? Well, I've only got a few seconds. One of the big reasons why I use it is because my spelling is so awful, And one of the nice things is that I can type in here, you know, hello, color. You see? Did you see that? Color? Let's try a wrong spelling of color. Ah, it knows. Now that is a refreshing change. So that's pretty good. This has dramatically improved the quality of my email communications with people, you know, because, you know, you saw the monkey earlier anyway. It's much like that. And this really helps. There's lots of other things, you know. It's basically got the feature that you're asking for, unless it's that secure S-MIME stuff, which it doesn't do, but we're very interested in doing. So it's excellent. One of the other things is, it's nice. If you want to send HTML mail to people, you have to click this HTML button up there, and then you can do funky things. So, you know, I talk a lot to people who are sort of children of the 60s, you know, flower power and all of that. So, you know, it's vital to have your yellow flowers, you know, as a ruler there, you know, otherwise they feel it so angry, you know. Yeah, so there we go. That's good. What else can I show you quickly? Integrates with your LDAP servers nicely, beautiful tree. I actually seriously use it. You could probably all, reading my private mail, probably says something very commercially sensitive. It's got very quick indexing and searching. Let me show you that. How am I doing for time, actually? Is someone actually tracking it? I noticed Havoc. Oh, 10 minutes? Oh, before the 50 minutes are up?
No,
50
minutes are up.
Oh, they're up. Oh, I'm sorry. Someone else will scream at me because you're not at their talk or something in a minute, you know. I don't know what I'm up against. There's a KDE talk next. So if you stay here, you'll hear David Faure, my great friend, who's not here, seemingly. So I might be going elsewhere. I think there's a GStreamer talk as well that you might want to go to instead, or GNOME meeting or something. Damien, a GNOME meeting. So one of the nice things is the very fast indexing and searching. So here we have the GCC mailing list, which is not one for avoiding comment. I think there's 28,000 messages in there. And it's just searched them all for dog, which is nice. And here's one I marked earlier. And as you see, it has the word dog here in thing. And Yellow Dog Linux is one of those distributions we happen to support on the PowerPC at the moment as a company. So there you go. One of the nice things is that the searches are so quick, you can save them and store them as mailboxes, blah, blah. Good. Does anyone have any questions quickly about evolution?
Not evolution.
OK, right. Well, right. This man wants a monkey. He knows that if he asks a question, he'll get a monkey. But I know that he got two monkeys at the last talk. So I'm not going to give him anything. That'll shut him up. Good. So that concludes my talk. Thank you. You've been very good and patient. And does anyone have any questions apart from this gentleman over here? This man here.
You've been showing
us this
accessibility.
Uh-huh. Right. Good question. The question was, how do I use the accessibility stuff as a developer? And the answer is twofold. One is, you don't have to do much, which is, you know, a good answer. If you use stock widgets, or you aggregate together stock widgets, you know, say like just plugging them all into a bigger container, that's fine. You don't have to do anything, really. A few things like weird associations. If some label applies to some widget that's miles away, you might want to consider, you know, adding an association explicitly. If you write custom widgets, like I can't think of one now, but say, I don't know, a zooming car game or something, you know, the zooming car game widget that you could reuse elsewhere, you're going to have serious issues. So actually reusing stock widgets makes your life a lot easier. But there are APIs to help you. And if you come to my talk, I might add some accessibility stuff tomorrow. So how about that? Matthew at the back, who had his hand up ages ago. Yes. This is Matthew, by the way. Raise your hand again, Matthew. He's the Dasher man. Get a Dasher demo from him today. Sorry, nearly killed someone. Again. Yes. How do we deal with varied requirements of people requiring accessibility? Yeah, the problem with people who have impairments is that they are very varied, as you say. We don't see this as a complete solution. Primarily, it is driven by the government requirements. So we will provide a system that can be turned into a customized accessibility solution. I mean, you can turn the accessibility on with one button, right? You just click it, and suddenly everything is accessible. But clearly, if you if you need a mouse, an eye tracker or something, someone is going to have to come in and do that on top of it. So there will always be a bit of work left to tailor something to someone's particular impairment. And of course, to set it up how they like it to be. For example, traversing the widgets, you want just the right text to be spoken to you, just the label maybe, or the label and a bit of its context. And so you can customize all of that. The battery is now fully recharged. So I think that answers the question. This man over here, randomly. I think there would be severe and acute licensing problems with QTizing OpenOffice. That's my impression. It's probably wrong. So no. As for the GTK question, I can't possibly comment on that. So thank you. Sir?
How comes that I can't use GNOME 2 on my Debian now?
I blame Debian. Don't use Debian. No, sorry. Debian's very good at distribution. I love it a lot. Yeah, good. No, Debian, I imagine that's Debian's fault. It works on my machine, you just saw it. It's a packaging issue, and thus not very interesting. In fact, packaging is one of the most boring things you can possibly do. This gentleman here, you've already got a t-shirt. I'm not giving you one. Let's try this man at the back with a beard. Do you have a beard, my friend? I'll ask you in a minute. Okay, behind you. Right? Is there really? That's one of those, permanent hoary chestnuts or something. PGP, the chap who's in charge of it is Jeff, and he has a rather confrontational style when you email him with your bug. Mainly because a lot of people don't know what they want, and the specs are not clear, and people interpret them in really weird ways. I think I've seen PGP work. It's possibly not working 1.2.0. Yeah, no, it's quite likely it fails sometimes. I don't know the answer to that question. Look it up in the list. The gentleman underneath, who... No, this was this man here without the beard. Yep. The sun having any negative impact on the question of GNOME? The answer is, I think, undoubtedly no. Resounding no. GNOME is structured in such a way that the people who do the work make the decisions. And that has always been the way. Which is very good. We have this board, and it has advisors, which are companies, and there's this popularity contest, which I have lost 2 years running, I hasten to add, to elect the people on it, and there are increasingly few hackers on it because they realize it's a public relations exercise, and it's useful and valuable to have that feedback, don't get me wrong, but I see no way that companies can sort of control and manipulate the thing, short of doing shed loads of work and providing loads of features that people like and want to adopt, so no. I only see good things coming out of Sun, I must say. And their interaction with the community has been very positive.
Well,
so,
there
you go. Glenn, apart from Glenn, yeah. This man here, and then one final question. Yep.
Well, if they are going to integrate more GNOME, as you said, I understood that they at this moment are using Litwine for how are they going to fix the usability and user interface?
Who is using Libwine?
Mono for
system. Mono. Oh yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a very good question. Seems to me that Libwine won't be accessible. So there you go. But that's a different issue. Libwine makes a lot of sense to write the native C# GUI widgets. Okay, I'm losing control, so I'll abandon this thing. Thank you very much. You've been very good.